California, especially Fresno.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yo.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. We have a tremendous show for you tonight. You know, I wanted to do a kickback, slow, relaxed interview with Baby Slice, Kevin Ferguson Jr. And on the line with me tonight is a mutual host from The Fighter's Voice, Rich Ortiz. Rich, how's your night going so far, buddy?
You know, it's going good. You know, I'm excited to be on your show along with a living legend himself. I mean, the bloodstream, the DNA runs thick. I can feel it through the phone lines.
Oh, most definitely. You know, with that being said, you know, we look at the sport and we think everybody has to be this, you know, voracious warrior or this guy with an attitude. You know, but our guest tonight is totally different. He's humble. He walks with great pride and integrity, and he comes from a tremendous bloodline. Please welcome, help me welcome Kevin Ferguson Jr., Baby Slice. How's it going, brother?
I'm going good. How are you?
All right, having just a little bit of a hard time hearing you, bro. I'm not on speaker, am I?
Now?
Oh yeah, I can hear you perfect now.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I kind of want to touch on, you know, just real quick. We're doing the live feed, but we kind of got dismantled and it kind of went way south real quick. You know, how hard was it for you to jump into this sport, knowing that your father had created this legacy? How hard was it for you to define your own path as Kevin Ferguson Jr., Baby Slice?
Oh man, it wasn't hard at all, honestly, because as a kid, you know, I was always watching fights and watching boxing, and my dad always had me in sports, but that's what I did. I boxed, you know, I did boxing before anything, so I was always boxing. And then once my dad started fighting, he told me to wrestle in high school and wrestle in middle school, and that's what I did as well. So I always, since like, I would say like six years old, I've been watching fights. You know, I've been in the garage, in pads with them, moving around. So it was already, like, installed in me, you know?
Most definitely. And, you know, as you know, I knew your father. So he created this tremendous persona, the great aspect of what this sport entails. You know, when you jumped into the sport, how hard was it for you to create your own footsteps? Do you feel that when you first came into the sport that you, in somewhat of a way, had to fill his shoes, or did you come in with the mentality that you were just going to create your own path but honor your father's legacy?
Well, I always wanted to follow in his footsteps. You know, like, why create my own path when, you know, my dad created one for me, when he created one himself? I could just follow in his. You know, the platform is already there. You know, and I'm his son, so I want to live in the shadow of him. You know, that's how it's supposed to go. You know, the son takes over the father legacy. You know, once the father builds the empire for the next generation. You know, for his son, for his firstborn. So, you know, it's just that's how it goes.
Yeah, you've done a tremendous job. You know, you truly have, and you know, the one thing before I pass it over to Rich is the integrity and the humility that you bring to the sport. It's very welcome. It's second to none, and I commend you on that. Rich, go ahead, brother.
You know, I want to ask you right off the bat. I mean, growing up, you said you were involved in boxing. Your dad kept you busy in sports. Now, besides your dad, who did you watch in boxing that you kind of dug what he or she was doing? Because I say she because now women inspire men to box because they have hands as well. But there had to be somebody that caught your eye. Who influenced you besides your father?
When I was a kid, you know, how most kids used to, you know, watch cartoons, sit down, watch cartoons, and, you know, sit in front of TV and just watch cartoons all day, or, you know, that's what they did. But not me. You know, my dad had this little – I was always with him, so he had this little DVD player. And we had a highlight. It was a highlight tape of Roy Jones Jr., Muhammad Ali and Floyd Mayweather and Mike Tyson, and it was just like all their highlights, and that's all I watched. Like,
well, you know, those are some quite athletes. I mean, just to name a few, top notch. You can't go wrong watching them. Was there any athlete
right,
in particular that didn't box that kind of motivated you?
Not when I was younger, no, because that fighting was all I really wanted to do. You know, that's all I knew at the time was I wanted to fight. You know, I didn't really want to play football. I just played football just because that's just what they didn't have fighting in high school and, you know, in middle school. They don't have the, like, MMA or they didn't have wrestling in my middle school. So football was the thing to do. So I didn't really like football. I just did it just because, you know, I'm an athlete. Like a player, but, you know, football, I mean, fighting is just, it was it. That was it for me, you know. That was it. It was no other sport growing up. It was all, you know, fighting, MMA.
Wow, there you go right there. Don, it sounds like he could have either went inside the boxing ring like as he did in an early age or now the cage. I mean, his options were open. I mean, quite an athlete.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing both right now, though. I'm definitely doing both. I'm not just going to do MMA. I'm boxing as well, for sure.
Okay.
That kind of leads me into a question I had for you, bro. You know, because your father, you know, was a brawler. He was a striker, and you go and you look at your last fights, and they've been by submission. You're on a 3-fight win streak, and you're taking over Bellator Nation. You know, and I'm glad Rich brought that up because it's actually kind of where I wanted to go with it. You know, you have this natural God-given ability, but now, under, you know, the tutelage of Coach Antonio McKee, you found other aspects of who you are. How much did that add to the mentality and the physicality of the warrior, Kevin Ferguson Jr.?
Well, it added a lot. I really didn't have no like structure at the beginning. You know, I was just working and paying for a jiu-jitsu class in Connecticut. And that was it. That was just the thing. So my first fight, I didn't have no training. I didn't hit mitts with no one. You know, I just went in there and just fought, you know, and that's what happened, you know. And then, you know, I got the knockout and then I met Coach and then Coach, he had a raw fighter. You know, I didn't have, whatever he taught me, I learned, you know, like I didn't have no one taught me how to really throw a jab. Like my dad taught me these things. You know, but as far as a coach, a one-on-one coach, I never had that before. So, you know, it was the first time with Coach. So he had me like just a raw athlete and just molding me to this fighter I am now.
He's truly done a tremendous job. You know, the family that you created over there, he created over there is tremendous. Team Body Shop is one family that I consider my own. You know, you had something come up just recently, and my God, it kind of thrusted you into fame, and you jumped on a Burger King commercial with Bellator. Why don't you take me back and take my listeners back and give us a little thought or a little insight on how that came about and what it meant to you?
I'm not really sure how it came about. You know, I just got the call and they told me they wanted to do a commercial, and I'm down for it, you know. So, yeah, I guess it just worked out, you know, me being who I am and me, the way I carry myself. I guess they saw that and they thought I would be a good guy for the commercial, and it came out great, you know.
Yeah, honestly, I believe the fans took a lot of notice, and, you know, I think they should have taken notice sooner because the ability that you entertain is second to none. You know, I just got one more question about Antonio McKee. You know, I look at the guidance, the knowledge that he's given fighters. I look at the strength he has as a man in his own walk. What is it about Coach McKee that you would say that truly wants a fighter to go there, you know, makes a fighter want to succeed and gain that knowledge, not just the knowledge that he gives you, but he's also a pocket preacher if you really want to put it down to earth. You know, what did that mentorship mean to you?
I don't think he makes the guys, you know, he make guys do, you know, anything. You know, I feel like it's what we want out of it, you know, it's what we put into the practices. You know, what we put in is what we get out of it. You know, so he's not gonna force us to do anything, you know. He's gonna tell us what needs to be done, and if we do it and follow his directions, then we're going to succeed. And I get all of us, I guess, right now we're listening. Everybody's listening. Everybody's doing what he's saying. And, you know, you see, you guys can see what's happening in the cage, and you guys see what's going on, and results of everything. So I say just listen, man. Just, you know, listen to your coach and believe in him and, you know, trust what he says. And, you know, coach doesn't, he doesn't sugarcoat things. You know, he's going to keep it real. You know, if we're slacking in practice, he's going to call us out. Let us know we're slacking. You know, step it up. And that's the thing, that's what makes us better, you know, makes everybody better.
You know, Rich, I got to tell you, you know, and I'll let you take off from here. You know, Coach McKee posted a video. He took the guys down to the beach, and
right.
he had them training in the water. And they, let me tell you, bro, they asked for the day off afterwards, you know. So, you know, he may be humble about it on the show, but, I know Coach, and he's pretty hard-headed sometimes. But, you know, I got to admit, taking them down to the beach and getting that sparring session in the water was truly a different aspect that I'd never seen in the sport. And you know, the humility and the integrity that he's given these guys is second to none. I'm not on the mic to you, bro, and go ahead.
You know, there's a couple things I want to talk about. Let's talk about the water first. That's a throwback from the Bruce Lee days and the Muhammad Ali days. That's just not a portrait, a picture. That truly will emphasize your body to test itself. The recovery period is second to none because, one, it relaxes you. It sounds like your coach knows exactly what he's doing. He's pulling out all the strings, even though it's the beach.
Right.
You know, we see the beach, we think the beach, you see the beach, but it's work and having fun at the same time. And I know that night's sleep rest was probably like you just got a massage done.
Yeah, for sure.
Coach sounds like he knows exactly what he's doing. Now, and I also want to touch back on the commercial with Burger King. And I was thinking this myself. You are so marketable. Look for these directors. Look for these agents just to blow your phone up. Let's concentrate on the MMA and the boxing. But business is business. You're very marketable. I can see you in movies. I can see you in some additional commercials and just being that look. I can even see you on a suit and tie with the GQ behind you with yourself with the MMA gloves. Picture that. How does that sound?
Right. Yeah, man, I see it too. You know, I call myself the king of all trades, you know. I could do it all, you know. Once you put your mind to something, just, you know, do it. You know, don't second guess yourself, and just get it done and be yourself. You know, I feel like I'm not a bad person. You know, I'm not like calling people out or trying to do somebody wrong. You know, I'm just being me. You know, and I stay away from a lot of people just for that reason right there. So, you know, whatever comes, you know, whatever opportunity comes my way, if it sounds good and if it works out, then I'm all for it.
I see it working out, but I got to ask you this. Just like the Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., the Hector Camacho Jr., how tough, how much pressure is it being the son of a once street legend to MMA respectable legend to still, to this day, a living legend? How much pressure is being his son, your father?
Oh, man, it's no pressure at all, honestly. It's easy, actually. Like I said, you know, he knew this day was going to come, you know. My dad knew his day was going to come. He prepared me for it. Honestly, like, everything like that happened in my life to lead up to this point, he prepared me for this moment. And, you know, and it's easy. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, stepping out to the cage, walking to the cage, all of that is easy. A lot of people, you know, I don't know. It might be different for a lot of people, but for me, it's like second nature. Like, I'm more comfortable doing that than anything else, usually. Like, you know, I get more nervous doing an interview than I am walking to the cage. I like walking to the cage. You know, I used to do that with my dad. I used to see him walking to the cage. So I was around all his fights. I even walked out with him. So that feeling right there is like, that's like comfortable for me. That's like natural. You know, I'm like, ah, perfect. I'm feeling this. Like, great. This is what I want to feel. When I feel that, I'm at home, you know?
Well, I mean, just know you're not alone, and you got that angel forever guiding you and with you inside that cage.
Right, and that makes it even easier. You know, that makes it like even easier, like better.
Yeah.
It's tremendous, man. You know, I want to pick on you a little bit, bro. I just want to pick on you a little bit. You know, you've created a name. You're building the legacy that you're continuing the legacy that your father created. And then, you know, you go back and I see a picture of you and Snoop Dogg. What does that relationship mean to you with Uncle Snoop?
I met him for the first time, you know. He was just telling me how he's watched my dad and, you know,
He's having a hard time hearing you, bro.
He knows my, yeah, he said he knows my stand-up is, he knows the stand-up is good, but he was just saying, how's the ground game? You know, how's my ground game? And I was just, you know, pretty much that. You know, I'm just met him for the first time. It's pretty cool. It's a cool experience. I don't really get, like, starstruck or nothing like that. I just see him as a normal person.
Oh, yeah. You know, I got to admit, you know, and we kind of went there. We were going there on live feed, and we talked about the humility of your father. You know, I'm very blessed in life because I've been able to shoot your father's fights. I've been able to know him, ride around a limo with him. And, you know, I was telling you the story when we, you know, our live feed crashed, you know, of how we went to the Krispy Kreme and how he ate a dozen before he paid it, and then he signed the other 11 boxes and handed them out. You know, the man had great integrity. The man had humility beyond belief. You know, how much of the persona did you see growing up, or was it truly just that aspect of your father that's instilled in you today?
Yeah, I guess I can't really say. I see what father to me, so I guess y'all saw something different then. I can't really say, you know, like say what you guys saw, because for me it was just like, that's my dad, I'm used to it, you know. It's like, I don't really know, you know, like, I just saw my father, like, get to see, like, I don't know, all of that, like stuff like that, you know. I knew he was a good person, you know. I saw what he did, like what he did to the world, but for the most part I didn't really like look like outside of the, like looking on the outside.
Yeah, I truly understand.
That's understandable.
Yeah, you know, and it truly is. You know, but it's remarkable for me as a journalist, as a photographer, you know, because I got to know the man, and now I get to interview you, I get to watch your career, I get to shoot your career, and I see the same values in life that he had. And let me tell you, brother, you're a spitting image of your dad. I mean, he did a tremendous job as a father. I mean, you truly are that aspect. You know, you kind of talked about with Rich a little bit about boxing. You know, what would Kevin Ferguson Jr., or when would he like to step up and show the world that aspect of who you are?
Man, I'm not sure. You know, I'm going to let, I guess, you know, everything has to be done the right way. And, Once we get everything done the right way and, you know, everything is good, then as soon as possible, you know, that's like, you know, my thing. I could do it both. You know, there's a couple guys in MMA that's boxing and doing MMA at the same time. So, you know, I think that would be cool. And I like boxing. I'll be more comfortable in boxing. I can be myself out there a little bit.
Yeah, and it'd be tremendous to continue the legacy in both ways, don't you think, Rich?
You know, I do want to say this before I forget, before I go any further, because he's blowing me up right now. He's texting me right now. There's a kid in Madera, California, which is 15 miles away from Fresno, California, where I'm based out of. His name is Jimmy Navarro. He's an amateur boxer, an amateur MMA guy. His nickname is Baby Slice. Why? Because he watched your father, and now he's watching you. So I had to give him a shout-out, Jimmy Navarro. He's a friend of mine, has a brother named Pepe Navarro, the Navarro brothers, but I had to throw that in there before I forget, because he's blowing me up and he's saying, make sure I say that.
Right.
So I wanted to say that and let you know,
cool,
you are making an impact. You are.
Right.
Your following is bigger,
yeah,
and
cool,
stronger than what you think it is. But you're
right,
just,
yeah,
being
I'm
yourself,
sure,
just,
yeah,
like your father,
yeah,
being himself.
All right. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Your feet are okay. Definitely on the ground.
Right. Thank you.
You know, I got a little quick snippet. I got someone I'm going to call real quick. You know, I found this out moments before the show. It's one of my sponsors for the 86ers, who just had one of his, he had his first debut fight, and he wanted to share a few words with you. So I'm going to bring him on here real quick, and we'll let Rich here, and we'll talk a little bit. Shop.
Hello?
Or whatever you want to call it. Hey, Freddie, this is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. On the line with me is Baby Slice and also Rich Ortiz from the Fighter's Voice. You know, I brought you on the show. We talked earlier. First and foremost, you're a tremendous sponsor, and I want to thank you in that aspect. You know, you just had your first fight. You know, it truly meant a lot to you. What advice would you like to get from Kevin Ferguson, or what would you like to share with Kevin Ferguson, sir?
First of all, thanks, Don, for having me and giving me a call. And I respect you so much, and it means so much in the industry that you take the time to spread the word and the stories of all of us. So thank you for that. And for the Baby Slice family, man, much love, much respect, big ups. No words can explain. I'm sorry for everything that you've been through, but I'm also happy for you because he hit the ground running and he came out fighting, and, you know, he can relate to a lot of people, and I really look up to that. So thank you, man, and, you know, keep doing you. I called Don because I was like, man, I'd love to go train with him sometime and, you know, get, you know, mess around, get in the ring with him a little bit and learn something.
Yeah,
like Don said, I had my first fight, and I'm looking forward to more of them. And I don't know, I was just happy to talk to you, man, and it's really cool to speak to the legacy and the family that you guys got going.
What weight did you fight at?
185 was my first fight, and then I'm going to go down to 170.
Oh, nice, nice. That's what's up, man. Yeah, whenever you're in California, just come by the body shop. You know, we're here. We welcome anybody to come train with us. Doors are open.
Yeah, I'm excited.
He's right there.
I'm down the street in the city of Ontario. I work out at Threshold MMA. Another reason I wanted to talk to you, my fighting style, I guess I like to see it as, you know, Kimbo Slice, George Foreman, and Mike Tyson all put together, because all those guys are fighters, and they don't back down from anything. And, you know, I like to see myself the same way. My first fight, I finished it in 17 seconds, and I don't plan on ever slowing down from there.
Nice. Yeah. It's funny because I came up with the style, you know, like with my dad being Kimbo, and then for me watching Mike Tyson for so long, I call it the slicing, you know. It's like Kimbo Slice mixed with Mike Tyson. Slicing.
I like that.
So that's like my little, that's my little, it's like that's like the style, you know, like them mixed together. That's like my little style.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Up.
You know, I truly love it. You know, Baby Slice, what I told him I'd do, I'd get together with Coach, as you know, me and him are family. I'd arrange something and get him down there, and we'll work it out, because I truly think that he can learn a lot from you. You know, the 86ers represent the sport very well. You know, Freddie is a tremendous aspect of one half of the company and one half of my sponsorship. You got to see his fight, man. He's got a tremendous right hook, and the other guy knows about it.
Yeah, I want to watch it. I want to check it out. I want to just tag me and check it out.
Definitely. You know, on the line with me, though, Freddie is a good friend of mine, the one I was telling you about from the Fighter's Voice, Rich Ortiz. Rich, is there anything you'd like to ask Freddie Colbert from the 86ers.net?
Yeah, Freddie, first of all, congratulations on your win. I can hear the excitement. I can feel it in your body. I can actually feel the energy through the phone lines. When do we see you back in the cage again? And I got to tag you on Facebook. I want to follow you. I want to help promote you, because I love helping out young careers. And the respect that you had for talking to Ferguson over the phone right now, I could already feel a connection. You guys are going to end up sparring together, working out together, and helping one another. But before I go on and on, when do we see you back in the cage?
I'll be back in the cage October 20th, i.e. Fight Nights, on the City of Ontario.
Night.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Look forward to that, man. I want to ask you, just like I asked Baby Slice, growing up, there had to be somebody that enhanced your skills, that made you go that extra mile, that inspired you. Who did you watch growing up, and who would you say that you kind of mimic? You kind of went over it a little, but I want to hear it out of your words. Who did you watch in the cage and say, I'm kind of digging what he's doing?
Well, I would watch George Foreman a lot. We share the same blood. He's my second cousin, so we're our family. So I grew up watching
that
him.
That DNA.
Yeah. I grew up watching him, watching him just knock people out, and I was like, oh, man, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
So I really looked forward to that, and, it, you know, it was just exciting growing up and watching, you know, powerful people, like you said. The only ones I can compare to in that range is George, Mike Tyson, Holyfield, Kimbo Slice, and I started watching him on YouTube. I'm like, damn, look at this dude, man. Everyone was watching him. That's how it started. And he was savage. His cage was anywhere that anyone was. This is my cage right here, man. Don't move. It's going down. So, you know, that energy that he brought is, you know, the kind of energy that I love to bring in life and whatever I'm doing. You give it your all and you give it your best shot and what you got. There's no taking a break, because whoever is across that cage from you, they're trying to hurt you. So you might as well win before they win.
Exactly. Two things I want to say real quick. Every fighter you name has heavy hands, so I can imagine you have that DNA heavy hands too. And let's talk about the YouTube. I would watch Kimbo knock people out, and then when it was all said and done, he'd help them to their car. He'd help them up. I mean, that was
amazing. Yeah, yeah. I don't think he had a problem with them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah, like you said, and you know, Baby Spice is the same way. I see him shaking everyone's hand, saying what's up, taking pictures with everybody. I respect that a lot, and I try to mimic great athletes, because I believe that's something that they possess.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in here real quick, Kevin.
You have to know how to turn it on and turn it off. You know, when you want that walk out to the cage, you know, I have to fight this guy. You know, I got to fight this man, you know. He's trying to hurt me. So in this moment right now, I'm turned on. I was like beast mode, like I'm about to hurt you. But the minute the fight is over, okay, it's like, all right. It's like the movie with like Bruce Lee, the chief, when he took off the leash, and Bruce Lee just went crazy, you know, beat everybody. And then once the leash got back on, he was chilling. He was calm. It's like that.
Yeah.
Like that, you know.
Kevin, what does it mean for you to hear these two tremendous gentlemen of the sport highly commend your father and commend you and feel the privilege and the honor to ask you questions, son?
I think it's a good one, because honestly, I'm not like a bad person. You know, if I was out there like a bad person, it'd feel wrong, because like, how can I tell someone to do something when I'm not doing it right? You know, when I'm out here doing wrong, I can't tell someone to do something right, because then I would lead them down the wrong path. You know, so if I'm doing everything right, then it, you know, I like it. You know, because I know that my advice actually means something, because I'm not out here like, you know, being a dummy. You know.
You know, that's one thing that truly inspired me about you and had me ask you on the show when you first started your career, was because I knew your father. I knew your father personally, and then to hear Coach McKee talk about you was tremendous. Freddie, what would you like to ask Kevin that truly would show the respect, but also what would you like to learn from him in this opportunity that you're about to receive?
I would just like to know how he, like he said, turns it on and turns it off, because I kind of have a hard time turning it off when I'm in the cage. You know what I mean? It just go.
Yeah.
But like I said, he turns it on and off so well. It's amazing. It's like a switch. And I definitely, I guess I would want to learn does that.
I feel like, I think I always had, like, a bad attitude, you know, growing up. So, you know, my dad always, you know, had to keep me under control in a sense. Like, you know, you can't be out here fighting your friends, hurting these guys, hurting people in the streets, because, you know, you'll get in trouble, you know. So I had to learn how to, if something bothered me or something wasn't right, just to walk away from it, or just let it, it doesn't need my attention, or it doesn't need that much attention, or, you know. So if it ain't something that doesn't need my attention, or it doesn't bother me, or I just walk away from it, or just leave it alone, you know. But once you step in the cage, it's like, hey, there's no running from that. There's no running from walking up to that cage and the door being closed and the bell ringing. Now you got this guy coming at you. You can't run from that. So you have to turn it on. If not, then you'll get beat up. You know, you get knocked out. You get hurt. You got to protect yourself. You know. But I had a problem with that, like, in sparring, you know, like, at the beginning, I didn't know, like, my power, you know, like, Coach Antonio, they always telling me, like, you hit too hard, you know, you got to just try to touch him. But I didn't understand that. How you going to tell someone who never fought before to control something that he doesn't know even that he has, the power that he has? So once I realized what I had and I understood, like, okay, I have power, I hit hard, I could work on different things, and that made me a better fighter, you know, like, keeping being able to control myself. And getting hit and not getting mad and trying to get hit back. Just being relaxed and like, oh, you got me that time, you won't get me again, you know? That mindset.
Most definitely. It's tremendous to be able to bring all these individuals together, Rich. I tell you, you know, the 86ers are a tremendous organization, and to have Freddie come on the show and represent, you know, himself as a fighter and a representation as my sponsor and the 86ers, you know, it's a tremendous organization. If you don't know about them, to my listeners, I suggest you go look. Nobody's 86th in life. And I think that's a tremendous aspect of what you bring to the sport, Freddie. You know, Rich, I'm going to let you ask him a couple more questions, and then we'll let Freddie get on his way, and we'll continue the interview with Baby Slice.
Freddie, one thing I do want to say, okay, first of all, Big George beat Tommy Morrison. That was one of the bogus decisions out there. I just want to let you know that. So you can go home and let him know. I'm sure he already knows that. I want to ask you this. So the DNA is there. In the cage, some boxing experience just from being raised in that family. Outside of MMA, outside of not being able to turn that switch off, what do you do to put your feet up, relax, and say, okay, I'm at ease now? What do you do to relax?
Honestly, I watch movies. I just relax at the beach. I listen to music. I do a lot of things that don't have too much energy going on. That way my entire energy can just mellow out. I can control my chi, I guess you would call it.
Okay, let me ask you this. It's kind of like almost like a trivia, almost like a fun game. Okay, you're out on a date. She's talking. Are you listening, or are we thinking about practice? Are we thinking about working out, or what could I do to get better in the cage?
It depends on the part of the day.
Let's keep it real.
I'm going to keep it real. It depends on the part of the day.
Okay. Well, that's a whole different episode right there. Let's talk about having supper, having dinner.
Oh, well, I mean, I think about fighting more than I think about most of the things.
That's what I was leading up to. Exactly. Yeah. And I'll let you finish that comment.
Yeah, I think about it more than I think about a lot of the things because growing up, I did, you know, have some situations, family situations, life situations that I was angry about and pissed off about. So fighting wasn't my way out. And it did get me in some trouble through a lot of years of my life. But as I grew older and, you know, I started working with the brand and realized that, you know, the 86ers isn't to be kicked out, it's to be included, I started to switch the mentality of everything. And now I see it as a positive outlet. And now I'm competing to be something greater, to be something bigger, to spread a message. And I see a great avenue to help so many different things in life without getting in trouble.
great example. Real quick, real fast, because I'm going to let you go. What car in the market today best describes you inside the cage?
Oh, I'm going to have to say, I don't know if they still sell them, but probably something like a H1 Hummer with some speed.
Okay. There you go. That's a beast right
there.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, I'm
right
coming
there
with the power, and I'm coming forward, and I'm not going backwards.
There you go. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate your time. Heck yeah, good stuff.
Thank you very
man.
Much.
Hey, Freddie, thank before you. We let you go, is there any parting words or anything you'd like to say to Baby Slice before we let you go, sir?
I just want to know if it gets easier coming out of that tunnel with everyone screaming and yelling, because it was very nerve-wracking.
A lot of people pose when they feel that pressure, you know. Like, I feel like you got to take that energy and use it, like, in the cage, you know. Like, that feeling, it's not like a nervous feeling. It's more like, all right, now I'm tuned in now. And, like, everything's trying to be quick, fast. You're not about to hit me. Like, that's how I use that energy, you know. That's what I call it. It's like energy, you know. You can't let it overwhelm you.
Yeah.
You got to control it.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, I felt it. So I'm glad to know that it's a normal feeling there. Because
the energy, like you said,
it was there. I felt like I had a sonic
no
boom
fighter,
in my chest ready
honestly,
to come out.
No fighter can say they walk out to the cage and don't feel that feeling. Right there. It's just impossible. You can't. You know, it is what it is. It's just, that's just a part of the game. That's why we fight. It's for that feeling. You know, and nothing compares to that. And not
a lot
of people won't understand it or experience it, but, you know, they won't get it. But, like, nothing compares to that feeling.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man. Thank you all you guys for making the time and giving me a call. I really appreciate it. Baby Slice, big ups to you and the family and everyone over there.
For sure.
And, yeah, man.
Thank you.
I'd love to stop by anytime and, you know, get a workout in or whatever you guys got going and be, you know, an asset in any way I can be.
Oh, definitely.
Most definitely. I'm going to get it set up with Coach McKee, Freddie, and, you know, you are a show sponsor and you are family, so you're welcome on the show anytime, brother. You know this. one team, one dream, we roll that way in life, and I'll set that up with Coach McKee. Would you like to say your farewells to Baby Slice, and then we'll get on with the program, sir?
Yeah, thanks, Richard. Thanks, Don, Slice, whole family, man. Thank you for everything, and thanks for making the time, boss. And I'm looking forward to meeting you, and I'll definitely inbox you that fight ASAP.
Okay,
oh, definitely.
One more day.
Yeah, for sure.
There you go, man. Keep the grind, brother.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm going to hand the mic to you, Freddie, real quick. Let people know where they can get a hold and contact the 86ers.net, as they are a show sponsor and they're a charitable organization. How can they reach out to you? How can they get a hold of you? Let the public know, my brother.
Definitely check out our Instagram, the 86ers, THE86ERS underscore brand. If you want to send us an email, it's info@the86ersbrand.com. Yeah, man, we'd love to hear from you guys, questions, concerns, any way we can help out with nonprofits. Like Don said, the 86ers is anyone who's ever been kicked out for being different. So we're an army of outsiders, and we stand up for everybody. Check us out, the86ers.net. We have a full apparel, hat, beanies, sweaters, hoodies, everything. And, you know, we're a lifestyle brand, so, you know, we'd love to hear from anybody.
Most definitely. You know, I'm always humbled as always, Freddie. Thank you for showing the show love. Thank you for coming on, and I truly appreciate you guys, and we'll get you on before your next flight, champ.
Awesome, fam. Thanks to you guys. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, much love.
Wish you well.
You know, Rich, I got to tell you, and Baby Celeste, I got to tell you, you know, he hit me up. He's just, he was overwhelmed by the thought of being able to talk to you. He wanted to get some advice from you. What does it mean for you, Kevin, to have people looking up to you, people looking for advice from you? How does that make you feel giving back to those who have those questions?
I don't know, man. I don't feel no type of way, honestly. I feel the same. I just answer the questions the best way I can, you know, and you know, not try to lead someone down the wrong way or tell them what's real. You know, I just don't try to sugarcoat anything, and I'm going to just keep it as real as possible.
Yeah, and you always have, and that's why you always have, and that's why I love having you on this show. You know, I'm going to ask you a question that I ask world champions, and you know, I think it's an adequate question at this time. If you had to write down on a piece of paper, you know, a paraphrase, a statement about you, your life, or just an aspect that you want people to know, to be put in a time capsule, to be open 10, 20 years from now, for future generations to look back and open up and learn a little bit about Baby Slice, what would that statement be?
Oh, man, I'm not sure. Something like you have to stand for something, you know, like one thing my dad always told me is, you know, stand your ground, you know, and you know, you got to stand for something, you know, stand for something or fall for anything. You know, that's like my motto right there. So it'd just be that, you know, stand for something and, you know, earn your respect.
I love that. Rich, what are your thoughts?
Man, I mean, I couldn't have said it any better. I mean, first of all, you being yourself, I can sense that being edgy, keeping your feet on the ground, and being a role model, I can see this plateau, this platform, you talking to the masses of young youth and giving back that way, just like you did. The impact you made on our guest that just came on, our sponsor, he's going to take that with him, and he's going to be like a tree branch. How many people is he going to touch by your words? You're bigger than what
right.
you think.
Yeah.
I mean, when it starts to erupt, keep those feet on the ground, my man, and keep positive like you're doing. And sky's the limit in your bright career. I mean, you got options. You're going to
right.
wear many hats before it's all said and done.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure. It's real talk.
It's totally the truth, though, you know, because, you know, but I understand you, Kevin, because, you know, here I've been in the sport for almost 23 years now. You know, I got inducted. You know, people praise my work. People call me a mentor, a legend. And I'm like you, bro. I think your father rubbed off on me too, because I don't see myself that way. I don't see life in that aspect. You know, I like
yeah.
to see it day by day. Would you say
and
that's
you know
a,
what's funny? I was sorry to cut you off, but a lot of things that a lot of interview got people that interview me,
really never knew my dad and never interviewed him. So to able to interview him and be around him and talk to him and understand how he thought, and now you could talk to me, you kind of see where I get it from, and you can understand me better. And now you understand the way I am because of my dad, because you knew him. So now a lot of guys that interview me, they didn't really know him like that. So for me to be who I am, it's all new to them, you know, but you understand it because you knew my dad and you saw how his heart really was, you know, who he really was behind, you know, the fight scene, you know, the Kimbo Slice, you know, Kevin Ferguson. So
yeah.
I like that. That's why I like doing interviews with you, man, because you know what's up.
You know, that touched my soul, bro, you know, and, you know, I'll let the story out real quick, and, you know, because, like I said, we did this on the live feed. When I first initially met Kimbo Slice, you know, I was with one of the executives from Fight Night Returns, and we were waiting at the tarmac, and you see this huge entourage as Kimbo, you know, he always brought family with him. And, you know, my boss tells me, I want you to take pictures of them coming up the tarmac. And next thing I know, I'm eating my camera and I'm falling back, and I don't know quite who, you know, pushed my camera into my face, and they're like, I told you no paparazzi, and, you know, the executive from Fight Night Returns was screaming his head off, wait a minute, he's my photographer. And, you know, like I told you, you know, before, Kevin, your father picked me up, he dusted me off, and he gave me a kiss on my forehead, and he said, you ride with me, little man. And I got to tell you, that was probably one of the greatest moments of my career. You know, that's a day I will always look back at. You know, we had this talk about Icy Mike the other day. You know, I think he was very protective of your father. And that's a
right.
good thing, because your father was such an innocent man. You know, and that's what I want people to know about this sport. You know, people take so much for real. You know, they see what they see on the Internet, and they claim that that's real life. You know, they think that that's real life. It's not. You know, people have to create a persona to become what they are in the sport, but it's truly not who they are. And, you know, I found that out, and I caught some of the most intimate moments of your father, and I've shared them with you, and I still got quite a few more to share with you. You know, what does it mean for you to have someone like me that did know your father come into your life, share moments, pictures, aspects? What does it do for you as a man being able to see a different reflection of your father?
Oh, man, it means a lot. You know, I think it's cool, you know, that you actually met him and you, like I said, you knew who he really was, you know. And, like, some of the pictures you sent me, like, they're all cool and, you know, they're different, unique. And it's just, I don't know, you could just tell, like, the different vibe, you know. But
yeah.
I think it's cool, man. I like it. That's why I like doing interviews with you. You know.
I love doing them with you. And you know, Rich, I got to tell you, and I'll let you jump on here real quick after I make this statement. One of the greatest days in my career, I was getting ready to shoot Kimbo Slice versus Brian Green. And it was a boxing match. And the day before, the way HBO and Fight Night Returns did their shows, they like to do a pre-event before the true event the day before. And we were shooting the half-pint brawlers. And Kimball looked at me and he said, do you want me to autograph your prosthetic for you? Because I had been bugging him for 2 days. You know, I'd been driving him around, eating barbecue, eating Krispy Kreme donuts and all this. And so, hell, I took my prosthetic leg off and I handed it to him. And, you know, just the other day I saw this picture for the first time and it brought me to tears. You know, I don't know who took it. I was just on the Fight Night Returns website and I just happened to go look and I seen this picture of me and Kimbo and he's signing my leg. And that moment meant everything in the world to me because I still have the leg in my closet, you know, and I'll never wear it again. And Kimbo will be forever immortalized in that aspect in my life. You know, what does it mean for you, Rich, to see certain aspects play out like that? What does it mean for you as a young journalist, a journalist that's coming up? What does it mean for you to see the growth and, you know, I'm on my fifth generation of fighters, so what does it mean for you to see that aspect of the sport portrayed?
you know, that's remarkable, because a lot of people don't see that side to fighters. A lot of people don't see that side to people. They just see the person walking in the ring, outside the cage. They don't take really the time to, I would say, understand. A lot of fighters are misunderstood for the most part. They think that, and honestly, outside the ring, outside the cage, the nicest guys that you'll ever meet, with the biggest hearts. And they have concerns just like you. They're family people just like us. They go to work just like us. They got bills to pay. They got bills to pay just like us. But when somebody makes an impact like that in your life, and it opens you up, and it's forever embedded in your heart and soul, I mean, that's second to none. Because had you not saw that picture again, you still would have remembered it, but seeing that picture and that photographer capturing that moment captured a piece of history, a piece of your heart, a piece that you can carry with you. To me, that's breathtaking. And I'm going to share something real quick. A lot of people don't know my story, but I will share this real quick. The Rock, who's a WWE fighter, I would always take my son to go see WWF. And my son was dressed like The Rock this particular time, with the shirt, the eyeball, the glasses, the watch. And this was before I did any journalism, any interviews or anything. There was a TV camera there, and they're interviewing him. And they're talking, he's on TV. There was no Facebook, there was no YouTube, there was no other channels to look for it. So I've always knew it existed. I didn't know where to see it, how to do it, how to look back or anything. And there was another journalist, he tagged me and said, "Hey, Richard, go back to all the way to the 59th moment and go to the last 30 seconds. I didn't know what he meant. I mean, are you talking about my radio show? What is he talking about? So he sends me the link. It's the link when that camera was there covering the whole event, and I got to see my son, 7 years old, being interviewed. And, I mean, I literally lost it. I broke down in tears. And just to see that moment that I knew existed, and then someone share it with me, it's kind of like the same way when you saw that picture and they shared it with you, Don, of Kimbo signing that leg. So
yeah, it truly
I'm not
is.
Sure if you get it or not. And my story is, Baby Slice, is my son's in heaven. And real fast, I dedicate my whole career to my son. Every single thing that I do, I dedicate to him. Every interview, every word that comes out of my mouth. And I was looking at you. You're born in May 1992. My son was born on May 21st, 1992. So I kind of feel the connection and the way you say the legacy of your dad. And I say the legacy of my son keeps me going. So I might have went off topic a little bit, but I think I hit home where I needed to hit home. What do you think, Don?
Right.
Oh, you surely did. You know, It's a tremendous aspect how we even came about, but you know that's a whole other show, and we'll get into that later.
Yes.
But Baby Slice, I want to let you know that you look at both your stories. You know, his son's in heaven, your father's in heaven. How much of that portrayal, as Rich carries, how much of that portrayal do you take with you each step, each moment in life? You know, how much gratitude do you feel because you got to live with one of the greatest men ever to walk the earth? I know you didn't look at him in that aspect because he was dad, but now that you get these moments to sit back and reflect, how proud are you of your father?
Oh man, very, very proud, man, because I like you said, man, I see it now, you know. So I all his fans are like my fans now. And they hit me up and they tell me, like, keep doing what you're doing. You're continuing the legacy. You're keeping it alive. You know, you're keeping, you know, the Team Kimbo alive. And, I think that's what I'm supposed to do, you know, is continue it. Because, you know, if not, it would have just, you know, most fighters are, you know, they have a son. And when they're done fighting, their career is just, like, in the memories, you know, like, in the record books now. But if they have a son and their son is actually good, then they're gonna still talk about the father, and they're gonna talk about the son as well. So you know, you keep it alive, you're keeping them alive, you know, and not just in the ring, just without, just everywhere, just my face alone, my face and his face, you know. Like, I'm Team Kimbo now. That's just what it is. I have to keep it alive, and I'm also like sponsoring fighters now, so I'm also trying to make the Team Kimbo name bigger than Brian Big.
Yeah, you know, one thing to most of my listeners, you know, I got to tell you, the listeners on iHeartRadio and Univision, you got to go check out Kevin Ferguson Jr.'s page and Kevin Ferguson II's page. look at, you know, it stymied me when I first got an offer to interview you. I will be honest, you know, it almost brought me to tears, bro, because the resemblance between you and your father is second to none. You know, there's no denying that that's your dad. I mean, there's just no denying that that's your dad, and that's a tremendous thing in life. But what did it mean for you to actually have him there? You know, I know he was gone a lot on trips and things of this nature, but when you had that downtime with your father, what were those moments like?
I'd say because I didn't think what happened was going to happen, so I didn't, like, try to embrace the moments or, you know, I try to hold on to these memories. It was just a regular day for me, you know, everything was sudden, so, you know, I don't know. It's a tough question. I wasn't thinking about it like, oh, let me take these moments in because he's about to be gone. That was all that just happened.
Yeah. And now it's a tremendous reflection, and it guides you spiritually, motivationally, and physically in life. And, you know, that's tremendous because I didn't have a father in life, and, you know, I envy you in that aspect because you truly had a tremendous one. Rich, I'm going to throw the mic to you, and we'll ask him a couple more questions, and then we'll let him get out of here, sir.
Yeah, first of all, you know, thanks again, you know, for taking time because I know, you know, it's a busy schedule you have. Tell us, what's a normal day like? When I say normal, the norm is the MMA in you, is the competitiveness and the boxing. What's a regular day like for you, sir? From waking up and training, how's your day start?
Right. Yeah, waking up 10:30, training, and then we got a break. We can probably get grab some food and sleep for a little bit, and then around 6 o'clock, I got to run a couple miles, and then hit mitts with coach, and that's it. Back home, and yeah, that's pretty much it. That's Monday through Thursday. Friday is like a little break, and then Saturday, Sunday, we're right back at it, right back in the gym. Training, especially when we have a fight coming up. Now, if it's not a fight, if this is after a fight, then the agenda is a little bit different. You know, I'm probably just staying home or chilling, you know, relaxing. But I'm always in the gym, though. I'm always training, no matter what.
What advice would you offer a fighter? Let me say this, because this is a tough one, and this is one that we run across a lot. We've had some fighters, they start off with a certain coach, and I believe, me as a father, I got my son as far as I could in baseball, and I knew I had to hand him over to another coach that could take him further than I could. That's the example I'm getting at. So how tough is it for these young fighters that have had these coaches, sometimes slash fathers, and they've gotten them to a point? How do they break away? How tough is it? What can you offer them to go to that next level, where sometimes they may have to seek out another coach to get to that next level? What advice do you have to give a fighter?
I guess it all depends on who your coach is and his background, you know. With my coach, I don't think I would need to go to any other coach. You know, maybe I think I would need to. My coach could do it all, boxing, MMA, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, you know. He trained Rampage. He done trained the best of the best, so... Like I say, you just believe in your coach and listen to him, and you know, then I think you could make it. You have to believe in something. So you know, believe in it by training you.
Well, you've been truly blessed to work, as we touched that earlier on the show, with a tremendous coach. I'm talking about, we have some young fighters. I believe they got them as far as they can get them, and they need to get to that next level, but it's hard for them to make that transition, as if to have that conversation and say, hey, I'm looking for a more experienced coach. If you can make an impact on a young fighter, what advice would you give him about making that decision?
About picking a coach?
Yes, about getting to that next level. From amateurs to pros.
Man, it's you know, so many people want to.
Having a hard time hearing you, Kevin. Kevin, are you there? You're breaking up really bad, bro.
Hello?
Yeah,
that's better.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I was saying it's so tough, you know, because so many people want to fight, and You know, you just have to just grind, you know, believe in the process, you know, stay patient and don't try to rush anything and, you know, stay humbled and grind, work hard. If you're working hard, you know, that's it right there. You know, hard work beats talent. So working hard and putting in the work, that's the first step.
Yeah, I think to verify that just a little bit more, you know, I think what Rich was getting at, and I've done this actually because I sent fighters to Coach McKee, you know, as he is still an active fighter. I've been hit by several gyms across this country, and you know as well as I know that Coach can't take everybody, but, you know, I've been hit by coaches that say, Don, I've taken my fighter as far as I can. I can't, you know, he's the best fighter in the room. I can't do anything more with him. You know, when you see a fighter in that aspect, you know, that is at a gym that has gone as far as they can, and they're not going to get any better where they're at, what advice would you like to give them to seek out a coach like you have now in McKee?
Oh, man, yeah, that's a tough question, honestly. I don't think I've been there. I don't think I'm in that stage in my career. But I don't know. I can't give advice on that one. Tough one. I think you have to ask the guy who actually left his coach, who left the gym because of that reason.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, see, I see that becoming a pertinent issue in a lot of gyms. I mean, you look at Alima McFarland. She's a different story. She found a small hole-in-the-wall gym, ends up becoming a world champion. You know, who's actually sponsored by the 86ers, which is a tremendous attribute because I get to bring her on the show. You know, I look at Coach McKee, and I got to be quite honest with you. You know as well as I do, for the past 4 years, there's only been three gyms that I truly brag about. But now that list has kind of dwindled down, and Team Body Shop MMA is really one of the gyms that I still continue to brag about because, you know, the Bellator takeover is real. All of you are, you know, tremendously making an impact on the sport. How hard is it for a team, because you guys are a team and not just a team but a family, but how hard is it for you to have, you know, nights like you did last week when Brandon Halls, you know, didn't come out on top. He came out, you know, with a lesson learned. You know, how do you guys come together as a team to pull each other back up and get each other motivated again?
Oh, man, once the guy comes back into the gym, you know, it's like a family, you know. We're not going to really talk about it or anything, but we're just going to keep training hard and, you know, make him better than his last fight, you know. And, you know, it's a learning lesson. You know, every fight, you learn something new, you learn something from it. And with a loss, you learn something from a loss. You just got to, you know, not get discouraged and train harder. And just now you got to work even harder now, you know, because you made a mistake your last fight, so... You got to sit down with coach and, you know, see what that mistake was made and try to fix it. You know, try to go over it. It's all about your mindset as well. You know.
Yeah, it most definitely is. When can Bellator Nation, the Bellator MMA fans, when can the sport expect to see Kevin Ferguson back in the Bellator cage?
Oh man, I should be fighting soon. Man, I should have some fight news coming up real soon. We have some things in the works. Some events we're talking about. So hopefully next couple months you guys will see me in a cage for sure. Definitely by the end of the year, though, you got an MMA cage and a boxing cage for sure.
Oh, wow. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, you and me both.
Yeah.
But I better get it before Curious George, Joe. You know, I'm telling you that right now. I better get it before Curious George because I'm family, bro. I'm just giving
right,
you a bad
sure.
time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to let Rich ask you one more question, and then I'll come back and I'll hand the microphone over to you for your sponsors, and we'll let you get about your night, sir. Rich?
Hey,
right.
Hey, I know you're doing the whole Bellator tour, man. I can't wait because Bellator is going to be coming to Fresno, California soon. You come to Fresno, California, I'm going to have to make contact with you. We're going to have to break some bread together, my man. Let me be your host when you hit Fresno. And what do you have to say to all the fans in Fresno, California that watch and support everything you do?
Oh, man, I just want to say what's up to everybody in Fresno. And whenever I do come out there, I hope everyone show me a good time and support me, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got
and,
it, sir.
I like eating, so we definitely got to go hit some restaurants, some of those famous spots up there.
Oh yeah, no, hey, we'll give you a tour. We're gonna have a sit down and tour and shoot. Don's gonna fly out and join us.
Oh, for sure. It sounds like a plan.
Yeah, Coach McKee's trying to get me out there right now.
You
know,
you go.
I need to. You know, we're family, and you know this already, Kevin. But you know, most of my listeners don't know that. You know, I am a little biased towards Team Body Shop. You know, me and Coach McKee, we have a relationship that is unlike any other in this sport. You know, and you know, it's taken me years to build that rapport with him. He's truly an honor in my life and a man that I even go to for advice. So I know why you're humbled by your coach. You know, Kevin, I'm just astounded by the growth that you've shown in such a short amount of time and what you're doing. And now you're signing fighters. You're looking for different aspects. You're growing in the sport. It's to be commended. You know, I think what you've done so far in the sport is nothing short of tremendous. I think the ability that you've learned, and you know, not just from your father but from Coach McKee, is going to make a big difference in the growth and the expansion of Kevin Ferguson Jr. You know, you truly have taken the sport by storm. Your fan base is growing daily. You know, brother, it's always an honor. You know, I love you like a brother, and you know, I appreciate everything that you do and the time that you share with my listeners. You know, you humbled me earlier by saying that's why you come on the show. You know, I love having you on the show. You know, my show is your show. With that being said, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, okay. Just was going to thank you to all my sponsors, Bad Boy Brand, Protein Candy, Rich Recovery, and High Five Hand Therapy, you know, and those are my sponsors. You guys can follow me on Instagram at BabySize242 and Twitter is Kimbo Size Jr. And that's it.
Hey, I'm not going to let you get out of here real quick because you forgot one sponsor, and that being Bite Me Mouth Guards, man. I know they make their mouth guards for you.
Yeah, can't forget, dog. Can't forget the Bite Me Mouth Guards for sure. Thanks for that one.
Yeah, because they're my sponsor too, bro.
Yeah.
You gotta give it. Rich, if you want to say your farewells, it's your opportunity, sir. I appreciate you, Kevin. I'm gonna let Rich finish up and say goodbye, and I look forward to you breaking your next fight news on the show. As always, man, I love you, bro, and I look forward to the next time. Rich, if you want to say your farewells, now is your time, brother.
Yeah, you know what? It's a pleasure and honor to be here on the line with Baby Slice and, of course, the Fighter's Voice, Don McGuire. Hey, I'm Rich Ortiz with the Fighter's Voice. Every fighter has a voice, and so does Baby Slice. So does Don McGuire. And you can catch the Fighter's Voice at Instagram, at the Fighter's Voice. And as always, I dedicate every single word, every breath of fresh air to my son. Te quiero mucho, mijo, Richie. I love you with all my heart. And as I hand the mic over to you, Don, it's a wrap with me. Thumbs up for Richie.
Oh, most definitely. Thumbs up for Richie. Baby Slice, thank you so much for coming on the show this evening. I appreciate you letting my guests come on and ask you questions. You truly are a humble man. Keep being you. I'm proud of you. I can't wait to see you in the cage again soon. I love you, and God bless you, brother.
All right, Don. Thank you, man.
All right.
Wish you well, sir.
You know, Rich, I got to tell you, the humility that young man possesses is second to none. You know, as you heard him say, I got to know his father, and it's kind of unique for him to have, you know, somebody that has interviewed his father, shot his father, and actually knew his father in life to interview him. It's kind of humbling for him. When you look at the sport, what is your greatest takeaway?
I like to, you know, like certain fighters, they like to say, I never turn it off, right? Well, as a fan is when we first started to media, we never turn it off. And the tough part is it's easy to watch two fighters that you don't know go at it. The tough part is when you got a personal relationship with fighter A or fighter B, that is very difficult sometimes because, believe it or not, you're absorbing some of the punishment. Physically, we cannot take it, but emotionally, we feel the impact, especially we don't want to see them hurt at all. We know they have families. We know they're making an impact. And they're human beings just like us. And we just got done talking to them, whether it was breaking bread, breaking a conversation, or watching him break their opponent's nose. I mean, we take that with us.
Yeah, we truly do, you know, and it's something that will, as you know, you've been in the business a while. I've been in the business a while. It's something that sits with us and stays with us. You know, it's funny. Before we end this episode real quick, I just want to say, you know, I had a fighter thank me for allowing him to come on the show. And you know, last year I interviewed 624 fighters. And one thing, you know, I told the fighter, I said, you know, bro, I need to thank you. And he's like, huh, what? I said, you know, one thing in life, I said, you got to realize it's a learning process. I said, out of the 624 fighters that I interviewed, I get to take away a little bit of knowledge from each and every one of you. And so I said, therefore, I'm the one that's actually gaining from the show. And, you know, it kind of caught him off guard a little bit. But, you know, when you look at it, do you feel the same in your journalistic aspect on the Fighter's Voice with you? Because, you know, you get to interview some greats in the sport. You know, I actually seen a little snippet with Sugar Ray Leonard and Chael Sonnen and things like that. You know, do you feel like you're gaining in your aspect as a journalist?
You know, every time that I interview somebody, it's almost my obligation to give him my best. Whether they're an amateur starting or rather they just won their third world title, I treat them all the same. My outlook is treat them all like champions. So they are giving back to me. It's almost like when you go to a rescue mission and you rescue a dog or a cat. I've seen a shirt, a slogan, who rescued who? Because of the impact they make in your life. And I carry that with me. I mean, that interview with Sugar Ray Leonard, that made an impact from to get to somebody on the same set that you used to idolize and watch and look up to, and then you're sitting there talking to him. It's a whole different level. It's a whole different aspect. They give back to you. And to an amateur, when you interview them, you make them feel like a true professional that are on the big screen. And when I see them smile, that's all the payment in the world for me personally. And they do make an impact in my lives. And I always say thank you. And again, they'll say thank you, Richard, for having us on the show. And I'm telling them, no, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to allow yourself to have a voice. We're just a plateau. We're giving you the opportunity. You're behind the mic. You make it entertaining. You bring out what needs to be heard. And I'm so grateful for every guest that I have on the show. So, yes, exactly, Don. I completely concur with you.
Oh, yeah. One more thing before we go. And I've always wanted to ask you this because, you know, you're a tremendous aspect in boxing. You know, I do a Legends in Boxing. But, you know, one thing that I've heard a lot of, I had Benny Pazienza on the other night, you know, and, you know, I asked him the question, what does it mean for you to turn your idols into your rivals? And with me being in the sport for 23 years now, I've watched that occurred, you know, time after time. How has it made you feel watching these young amateurs rise up and turn their idols into their rivals?
You know, with these young amateurs and you see them grow, it's almost like that present underneath the tree when you were a kid and you knew what it was. You just couldn't open it till Halloween. I'm sorry, let me correct that. You just couldn't open it till Christmas, but you knew what was in there. So to see these future champions and you know what they're going to become and you see it happen right in front of you. And for them, sometimes they were even friends in the amateurs and now they're rivals. And I always tell them, look, just look at it as a business, man. You have to fulfill your destiny as a business, not just inside the ring. But there's two types of fights, inside the ring and outside the ring. The outside is the difficult part because that's the business part. The easy part is you're already trained for that. You can do that with your eyes closed. You know what you signed up for. But to see these guys excel, to see these guys go to that other level and right before your eyes and you've already – it's been destined for them because you see what they can offer the world, it's breathtaking and very exciting. It brings out the kid in everybody.
Yeah, it truly does. You know, I just – I'm humbled to death tonight because, you know – the way we came across, like we said, we'll break that out later on a different episode or a different aspect. But, you know, it shows that people can correlate together. It shows people can come together. And life doesn't have to be animosity. You know, life can be tremendous. People can grow together in different aspects. And, you know, that's what I want to tell these young youth today before I get off the air here is take life for the moment. You know, tomorrow is another day, you know, that we're not promised. You know, so take from
Amen,
today.
Brother. We're not.
No, we're not. So take from today and cherish each moment and live it. Live life to the fullest extent. Because as my mutual host Richie just said, you don't get a promise of tomorrow. So with that being said, you know, it was a true blessing to have you on the show with me tonight. I look forward to many more of them. I hope you love the laid back platform that we do on this aspect of the show. You know, it's like you said, you know, we're here for the fighter. We're here to give them a voice. Nobody wants to hear us because it's not about us. It's about the sport.
No.
It's about the fighter. It's about the betterment in all aspects. With that being said, brother, if there's any more shout-outs you'd like to give or anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, Richie. Thank you for you know, being my mutual host tonight. I'm kind of a little tongue-tied here because, you know, I never thought I'd be on the same show with you, but it's been tremendous.
You know, it's a pleasure and an honor. Thanks for the invite. I had some personal things take place today, but I didn't want to turn down the opportunity, and I can see us grow together. I do want to give a shout-out to my co-host, UFC veteran Co Escovedo. I'll see you Wednesday on the Fighter's Voice radio show live stream team, and our guest will be the one and only Mr. Christian Prinup, who started out in Lemoore, who is now in Canada. It's going to be a breathtaking show. Thank you for all the listeners, all the viewers. Continue to support this guy here with the Fighter's Voice, Mr. Don, because he knows what's going on. And we'll call him the Don, like the Godfather Don, because he's opening up the doors. The floodgates are pouring. Get ready, listeners. Get ready, streamers. Questionnaires, right here. The platform is yours. He's giving you the opportunity. Make good use to it and put his butt to work. Ask questions like crazy, and I guarantee he'll answer every single one of them. Again, Don, it's been a pleasure and an honor to share the mic with you.
Oh, it's truly been a humbling experience for me, and I'm stymied by your comments and your kind words. You know, before we get off the air here, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. You know, he's had my back for many, many years since the beginning. I want to thank Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stitch Duran and Juan Ramirez. I want to thank the 86ers.net with Freddie Colbert and Alfred Terran. And last but not least, the Joe Rice, BiteMeMouthGuards.com, one of the best mouth guards in the business. Check them out. With that being said, I want to wish everybody a farewell and a good night. And thank you so much, Richie, for joining me. Until next time, it's been the Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire and the Fighter's Voice with Richie Ortiz. And I'll tell you what, man, I'm pumped up, bro. You got me all stoked because, you know, I never thought this moment would come. And it truly did, and I'm sorry about what you had to go through today, but we made it happen,
yes, sir.
It was a tremendous show, and thank you, and you have a tremendous evening, brother.
You too, brother, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, California time.
Sounds
good. Have a
good
night, Fleet. Okay,
God bless
you. Richie. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I tell you what, Richard Ortiz is a tremendous aspect, and thumbs up for Richie, you know, a tremendous story behind that. We'll get to that on a later date. You know, I love to have Baby Slice on tonight. Coach McKee, thank you so much for always blessing my show with the greatest of the sport. And on that note, I'm going to take us out of here with a little bit of music. I was trying to find a commercial, but I'm a little worked up tonight. Tonight's been a tremendous aspect for me, and actually I did find it. So we're going to take us out with a little bit of the 86ers. On that note, have a good night. God bless. From the Fighter's Voice, much love.
What up? It's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out, though. Listen, in a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'm going to ask you this, though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of the Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
You are appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was the fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day.